Well, hello. Hello, hello. Welcome to another Radio Fishing. And this is Fishing Frank. What a glorious day outside. You know what? Things are getting better. I had to turn on my AC coming in. Yeah, get in the truck and fire it up and get ready to come in, do a show here. And all of a sudden I look and it's hot. I mean, it was real hot in the truck. It was over 80 degrees in my truck when I got in it.
Yeah, it's beginning to feel like Florida again.
Yeah, it's a lot more like Florida. It's way better. I'm actually, while we're speaking, I went to get on my microphone, and all of a sudden it wouldn't stay there. Got a bad case of limp microphone today.
Yeah, pills for that.
Yeah, I know, they do, but, you know, it's, unfortunately for me, they didn't seem to work. I had to use a mechanical apparatus to fix this. So, anyway, now that I have the limp microphone system
that's
figured out.
Image of never getting out of my head.
Yeah, it's just wrong, isn't it? God. Oh, aren't you so glad you said, okay, Frank, we'll do a show on this.
Yeah.
All right, well, to give you a clue, it's January 10th, 2014. Still no flying cars in sight that don't cost $500,000. Yeah, just bad. Just wrong. Yeah, it's just wrong. It's not, this isn't right. I'm sadly disappointed in 2014 already. I expected more out of this year. So, Robert.
The flying cars weren't my big hope. I was really looking forward to teleportation.
Teleportation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to make things so much quicker and easier.
It would be better, wouldn't it?
Just it would.
Hit the button, I want to go here. And
whoop, yep.
You know. I can handle the being scattered into a million atoms and put back together.
I'll take that over flying.
Yeah. Yeah, toss up between getting on a plane and...
Yeah, really.
I don't know anybody who's flown lately that hasn't come back sick. I don't know what's up with that.
I haven't been on an airplane in...
Yes.
At least 15 years, and
really,
I'm quite happy with that.
I've been on many, I guess too many flights in the last bit. But, Robert, how are you doing?
Just ducky.
Just ducky, okay.
Just ducky.
Boy, what a day. I don't know. You, Robert's sitting here looking at me like I've absolutely lost my my last cookie out of the Oreo pack is just gone to milk here. So, anyway.
We're talking about teleporting and flying cars. That's not my forte.
Who's talking about teleporting and flying cars?
I don't know.
What radio show are you listening to?
Yeah, what show were you on? We've been here talking about fishing the whole time. I don't know. I thought this was radio.
That's what happens when I walk in the middle of a conversation.
Is his microphone on the wrong feed?
I guess so. Maybe you're on Sci-Fi Channel or something. I don't know. So, anyway, we were going to talk about... trying to adjust my microphone here to get actually so it doesn't sound like I'm in a tunnel and it's not working. But anyway, going back to it, best lures for right now. That's what the topic of this, believe it or not, is best lures for right now. What's the best lures for right now?
Well, we've put together a collection of about a dozen different lures here that me and Robert feel will be productive for at least the next week, and some of these are, by the looks of our collection here, standards that work well all year round.
Okay, so anyway, we've had that build up into it, and now we're getting ready to do this week's top 10. Yay! Okay.
Wow.
Come on, act like you're actually into it.
Well, I'm into it.
Okay.
I'm just not as ambitious as you and Kale. You guys are Laurel and Hardy.
He's over here. You know, I'm just about ready to hit the snoring and crickets button here. Go ahead, Robert. Pick a lure, Robert. What's your first pick of the day? Okay, he's reaching under the floor. He's grabbing a lure.
Mine is the X-Wrap by Rapala. And I don't care if it's a size 8 or a size 10. I just really like it a lot.
Size doesn't matter?
It's genetics, and I just fall short. So.
Okay, come on. I'm the one with the jokes here. Now, come on. Back on track. Okay.
See, I try to throw in something, and I get scolded for it.
See how he is?
See how it is?
No. Come on. Keep it clean. G-rated show. Okay.
I thought it was X-Rap. PG.
X-Wrap. What makes that X-Wrap... what's the deal for this week on the X-Wrap?
Well, for me personally, all year round, not just right now. I just
That's okay. Blow the theme of the show. We don't really care. You know, we don't have to do this week's top 10.
No, we can do the
forever list. We've changed the name of this. This is the forever list show. Go ahead.
No, it's relevant to right now, and it's relevant to when it's super hot or super cold.
Now,
I like the lure because it is a suspending bait, so it doesn't float back to the surface. So you can give it a good hard crank to get it down to a certain depth, and then you can much slower your retrieve down, and it's not fighting its buoyancy to come back to the surface.
It's one of the things I've always looked for in a lure, is to much slower my retrieve down.
When it's really cold, the fish are lethargic.
Did anyone else get that?
So I stick with that, you know, and also
right. When you picked a rainbow trout with the feather on it.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite. Oh, look at that. Kale, who had picked his lures out. Go ahead.
Picked out the exact same lure.
Yeah. Now, what I did was ask Robert and Kale each to go around and grab a couple lures that they thought were going to be the best this week. They both picked the X-Wrap XR10 in the rainbow trout pattern with the white feather on the back treble.
Yeah. And the only difference was that I actually grabbed the XR8, the X-Wrap 8.
Robert compensating getting the 10?
It could be.
It could be. No, you
we rewind this, and I said, I don't care if it's the 8 or the 10. Size doesn't matter, and then I got scolded. So let's not start that again.
And I picked out the rainbow trout because if you look at the MR or the Mirror Lure 17 MR I picked out, it's also in the trout color. I like using the trout color this time of year because small trout are a game fish.
Oh, yeah.
They are prey for other fish. They're prey for bigger trout.
It's got green, white,
fish
blue.
Or bait fish?
Bait fish.
Okay. It's got green, white, blue, pink, black dots. It's got everything a trout would love.
It's got all the colors of a rainbow.
Yeah, it's actually...
Imagine that.
Like a rainbow trout. Oh, my goodness. How are we getting here? So, anyway, we've decided our first lure, first pick this week is the rainbow trout pattern X-Wrap, either in the 8 or the 10.
Yep.
And,
mm-hmm. And I also like the ghost color, too. I like the ghost color when we're out of my pick, which is the Storm Twitch and Stick.
Okay. You know, first pick.
Storm Twitch and Stick. My first pick is the Storm Twitch and Stick. This thing.
Don't be too specific. Make them come in and figure it out. It's the Storm, right?
It's the one that's usually blank on the wall because we're going through these things so fast. They do work very, very well. We've caught trout, redfish, snook, jacks, Spanish mackerel, bluefish, ladyfish. All within the last past month on these things. So
is that
when
my
very,
dad got his
well.
Trout on yesterday?
No, your dad actually got it on the TT.
On the Mirror
TT. Now, I did hit a small trout and a small redfish on it yesterday while we were out.
You guys, keep going.
But the Storm Twitch and Stick is working very well, and the X-Wrap in the ghost color is a very good... alternative in case we are out. The only bad thing that I'm seeing about those storms, they're kind of on the fragile side.
They're a fairly inexpensive lure in the big scheme of things, but even more expensive lures still break apart, unfortunately.
They don't like being slammed against dock pilings and docks. They fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, so many people want tough, durable, reliable, but unfortunately, you got to pick one of those. You can't get all of them combined together. Even if you spend $30 on it, it's not going to happen.
Cheap, durable, and effective. Pick two.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of surprising, but I mean, if it works and you got confidence in it, it's going to be an incredible, incredible thing no matter what you do.
So, what's your next pick?
My next pick is a weedless gold spoon. And once again, kind of like the X-Wrap.
All year round.
It's an all year round bait, but it works really, really good when it's really cold or really hot because the fish are lethargic. And the reason why I go with a weedless spoon over one with a treble hook is because of the versatility of it. I can either drag it or hop it along the bottom if the fish aren't real aggressive. Or I can do a moderate retrieve, keeping it just suspended. Or I can just reel like heck if there's more aggressive fish around, like jacks.
And you
or
can still Spanish fish it deep, just like a normal spoon.
Absolutely. You know, it's just, I like the versatility of a weedless spoon. You know, and I go with usually the half ounce this time of year because it just gives it a little bit more flash. If I have an option, I would rather go with a hammered type spoon rather than a smooth finish spoon
because
the larger surface area.
Right, but those hammered spoons are getting harder and harder to find.
Well, and it's very difficult to find one there again that has a hook in it that's worth a darn that doesn't break off.
Or is weedless. I think you're really running out of people who are making those nice hammered gold weedless spoons.
Yeah.
Well, gold got so expensive. Did you miss me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, Robert didn't.
We couldn't carry on without you.
Yeah, I'm sure that happened. Anyway, there was just payroll problems, and when the phone rings, got to run. So
yeah, we my second pick was a weedless spoon.
Yeah,
and we covered some of the reasons why.
It's the cost of gold that's making that. Johnson Sprites used to be triple dip. Now they're down to double, I think, maybe even single dip.
Our biggest problem has been the hooks breaking on most of your weedless spoons across the board. You know, the single dip, that's nothing a can of Krylon won't fix.
Right.
You know, but when you have a spoon that you're spending anywhere from $4 to $7 on and the hook breaks on them, it's kind of a drag.
And I can tell you, the way to get around that is to put the single, those Mutu Light circles on the back, or the VMC circle hook, not the round one, but the one that is the modified Kaylee.
Right, remove the treble hook off a regular spoon and then just put the single hook on it.
Absolutely, working like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have a couple just regular weedless hooks that will work with it, but really just that circle hook on the back, that modified Kaylee circle, has just been knocking them dead. Great.
Yeah.
Great way to adapt your any gold spoon. Take a Sprite, you know, pick whatever brand you like. But that's the best way to get from a treble hook into semi-weedless because the circle actually doesn't collect a lot of stuff. So what's your next pick, Kale?
My next pick is going to be the Mirror Lure 17MR. And to be honest with you, I don't think color really makes that big of a difference. We've been catching them on the trout color, the broken glass, the silver and green, the silver and black, the pink and chartreuse. It's the action that catches the fish on these lures. If I did have to pick a color, if I'm going after bigger trout, I want that trout color.
The rainbow trout or the 18?
The rainbow trout, the silver sides, green top with the black dots on the side. And it's even,
I'd have to agree with that.
It's even, if you look on the back, they usually have a number that coincides with their color. This thing just says trout. So you can't go wrong there.
There you go. Trout for the trout.
Now, if I'm throwing it for anything in general, I'm probably going to edge towards that gold broken glass or the pink and chartreuse color.
Okay. Robert, any thoughts on that?
I like that color a lot, but I like any of the broken glass color because it just gives it more surface color and more reflection. So
definitely,
depending on the clarity of the water, it can enhance it a little bit or draw fish in from just a little bit further away that might not see it. And I think that, you know, the nice thing about that 17, once again, it falls under that same category of the X-Wrap. It's a suspending bait, and we talked about it before. Stop is a huge movement when it comes to lures, and being able to pause either of those two lures and then get them twitching again and then pause again usually can create a strike on a fish. And the 17 is a perfect lure for that. Plus, it's great with these super shallow tides that we're having. If you're up on the deeper grass flats and you get a really crappy tide, that lure is only staying 6-8 inches under the surface, so you can keep it right above the grass line where those fish might be hiding as an ambush point and come right up and eat it, so it doesn't get tangled as bad.
Okay, so you guys are pretty much on the same page with stuff. The X-Wrap, you guys pick the same thing on the X-Wrap. The Storm Bait, which is a huge hit, big fish catcher, and now the 17MR.
Biggest differences with any of these hard baits that we've talked about so far, if it was me using any of them for trout in particular, I'm flattening the barbs on every one of my treble hooks. I don't care.
I don't like barbs on my treble hooks. It's no matter too hard on me, too hard fishing on the fingers, too hard on the fish.
Yeah, trips to the hospital are a drag.
Well, actually, I go up to the walk-in clinic. I go up
same
Ballesteros. He's right on Harbor.
I flatten them out, and I'm not doing it for the fish or for me. I mean, trout have got the nice soft mouths that come right out, and I've been lucky. I haven't got a hook in me yet. Your landing net. your landing net is where you usually end up fighting these things the most.
Oh, yeah. They get between the threads on that mesh inside the landing net. If you pinch the barb down, don't flatten the bump out. Just curl the tip down.
Yep,
curl the tip of the barb back. And then you have no more sticking points and landing nets and cloth.
Fingers.
They come in, they go out. It's just a better deal all the way around.
That's the other place you get them. You get a hole in your spare tire. You know, you go to the back of the boat, and they're all sitting there in a rod holder.
Yep.
And where are all the hook keepers? Down by the handle. And you walk by there, and they grab shirts, and really good. All these lures, great for catching Columbia shirts.
Yeah, if you've got a guide shirt or one of those sunscreen shirts on, like Robert always wears, that's a nightmare to get the hook out of there. Okay, let's go next pick. Okay, what's the next pick on here?
You're up, Robert.
My next pick would be a topwater, preferably like a small one like the Spook Junior.
There's your Spook Junior.
You know, two colors that I like. I like the darker color. Anything super dark. I usually pick some of the ugliest darn colors when it comes to topwater lures. Or I would flat out pick just a plain old chrome silver one.
Well, you picked the redfish color here. Yep. Anything specific with that? Black, gold?
I like that combination. I've just always had really good luck with it in freshwater and saltwater over the decades. It was one of the first topwater lures you turned me onto when I was a kid. For down here, and I like it. It's just a good color.
Well, it's got the dark back, the kind of soft gold sides, silver, and then goes to white on the belly with kind of red around the mouth.
Sometimes I'll pick the ones with the orange belly. You know, Rebel used to make one called a Jumpin' Mullet. That was actually the first topwater you sold me. I was used to Spook.
Bagley's Jumpin' Mullet.
No, it was a Rebel Jumpin' Mullet.
Yeah, Rebel had one too. That's right.
It sat real butt heavy in the water, but would do a walk the dog. But when you'd slow it down, it would sit butt heavy in the water.
Yeah, tail drop.
Yeah, and that was one of the first topwaters you sold me for here because I was used to using Zara Spooks out in Arizona. And that was just a great lure, but I liked that ugly. It was gold with a black back with a bright orange belly on it. And it's always been a faithful one to me, but like this time of year.
Well, the problem is you can't get those anymore.
So well, yeah.
So we went back to these. Now, you can do that with these by simply adding a little bit of a split shot to the rear treble. It's a booger to do, though.
Yeah.
It's not easy, and you got to use kind of a wrap lead, rather. And we used to have the wrap leads for it, but they're not making that anymore either.
Oh, I think we have them out there, actually, with the drop shot stuff.
Really?
Uh-huh. Okay. The little matchbook back.
Yep.
I'm almost positive we have it out there, unless we're sold out again.
Right. So, Zara Spook.
And I like them. I like to throw that lure more in the evening, you know, evening into after sunset, because the fish have warmed up all day long, had the sun to warm them up and get excited, and usually they start to get a little bit more aggressive around that sunset time or even just after dark. So a topwater can be pretty productive, even in some of the deeper water if you're fishing some of the bridges and some of the lights and stuff like that along the shadow lines. Or even if you happen to be out in your boat and you're fishing along the shoreline, but that evening time seems to be the most productive early morning bite. Unless you're
still
strictly,
too chilly.
Yeah, unless you're strictly looking for trout, which might hit it, but even they can sometimes be lethargic when it gets too cold. But to mix match all of your varieties of fish, which would be, you know, like your snook, your redfish, or your trout would eat that.
Okay.
The evening's my favorite time for it.
All right, Kale.
My next pick, same thing.
Okay.
Only I happen to pick the Bone SL color.
Robert, picked the top best-selling, and Robert's got the...
Probably the second.
It's actually the third best-seller. We have a silver black that actually outsells it.
And I think we're on the right track. And usually if you find a Bone SL on my boat, you're probably going to find a redfish-colored one, too. What I like doing is, before the sun comes up, over the mangroves, or after the sun sets down below the mangroves, I'm usually using that darker color. Cloudy days, darker color. If the sun's up and bright, I'm probably throwing the Bone SL.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but the darker the day, the darker the color water. But if you're underwater, laying underwater, looking at the surface on a dark day, evenings, cloudy days, surface of the water is bright silver. When you're laying underneath, underwater, looking up at the surface, it looks like a sheet of mercury, and the darker colors contrast better.
Because we do that all the time.
I actually had to do that because I couldn't understand why lures did what they did and why what colors worked. So I went underwater, threw a bunch of lures on the water, and got underwater and looked at them. Yeah, I'm that kind of nut. All right.
Robert? Yeah, but that's what makes you phenomenal with that stuff, because you like to understand the reasoning, and you're willing to share it with people, and saves me having to jump in the swimming pool and look up at it and figure it out myself.
But I'm an idiot for licking mangrove leaves.
Yes, yeah, that's actually really true. You know,
you licked mangrove leaves?
Oh, you don't know the mangrove licker here?
Really?
Oh,
so
no,
his wife wants to find out if a male or female shrimp, and he wants to lick mangrove leaves. Great.
Yeah, we've got.
No wonder you guys make a good match.
Yeah.
This guy, he goes and licks the mangrove leaves to find out something about salt content or whatever to tell about how the fishing is going. So when you're on a charter with him and he goes up and he's plucking leaves and licking on them.
It's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah. Senor, no, indie donkey.
You won't see me out there actively licking mangrove trees.
Because you do it sneaky.
Yeah.
You're just not proud of this.
I do it quick.
Is it like riding a moped?
The whole story. Yeah, you know, it's something you don't want your friends to see.
One of these days. I'm not sure we're going to go into that right now. We're going to save the whole mangrove licking thing. Kale's a fetish guy. You know? I mean, when you look at him, you can kind of see this. But
yep. Mangrove leaves and elephants.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Robert, we're gonna go back to yours before we get too far lost here, because we're pretty much into this. Give me one more.
Well, my next pick that I didn't grab, unfortunately, would be a gulp soft plastic, because I can rig it up two different ways. I can rig it up weedless or with a jig head on it. And it's scent enhanced, just like the DOA is same thing.
Just love like kale.
Yeah. Yeah. I love both of them. But I love the versatility of it, because you can work it slow, you can work it fast, you can put it under a float, depending on which species you actually want to target right now. You know, in the deep water, put a jig head on it. Strong current, put a jig head on it.
I'm sorry.
He's having a good time with this one.
He is, too.
His visual is going.
I'm starting to wonder what he's putting in those fake cigarettes.
His imagination
Robert.
Is going nuts.
I was sitting there looking, and all of a sudden he's just like real deadpan. I'm not going to let Frank get to me. I'm not going to let him get to me. I'm not going to let him get to
That's
me.
That's one of the benefits about being blind. I can't see half of that stuff. So.
Okay. So anyway, you're going to do gulp.
Mm-hmm.
The flavor enhanced, scent enhanced bait.
Yeah. Yeah, the DOA is a great scent-enhanced bait, or the gulp. Both of them work great. I can dead-stick them, pretend that they're a dead bait, and just let them sit there and put an offset worm hook in them if it's real weedy or shrubby in the area where I'm casting. Or if it's a little deeper water, I can put a jig head in it, or I can also put it under a bobber.
Okay.
You know, it's a very good, versatile bait, depending on the aggressiveness of the fish that are out there.
And now, Kale, when you're on the flats and it's real shrubbery, Are you looking for gulp baits so they can be real shrubbery?
I'll be honest with you. I am not a fan of gulp. I can't seem to catch anything on it. If I look at some place and say, I'd throw gulp here, I'm just going to throw live bait. Because I just don't have the luck with gulp that most people do.
I don't know why. Number one selling soft plastics by far. Blows everything else out of the water.
Yep.
Everybody fishes it. They all catch fish with it. But there are a few people that no matter what you do or how you do it, you're just not going to catch fish.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. So, and, you know, he's saying that. But when he first took me out fishing and him and I were thinking about doing this charter thing, you know what he had me fishing with all day?
I had a package of gulp crab.
He was just trying to get rid of it.
Now, the crab?
Yeah.
No, the crab.
I'm sorry, but
I love the gulp crab. I have caught so many redfish on the gulp crab.
Okay, so backpedal. Lock the brakes up, throw in reverse, let's go backwards.
Gulp shrimp, I won't touch them. Will not touch gulp shrimp. I hate them. They don't work for me. I have sat out with clients on the boat and fished in the same holes with them with live bait, and me using gulp, just dead-sticking it the same way they are. And I'm not catching a thing, and they're pulling redfish to the boat left and right.
The only reason I was busting your chops on it, because when I got on the boat with you, and you know, you're showing me your chops as a charter captain and all this, you've got all these gulp crabs. You're using that. You used a ton of gulp bait.
I did. I used this, and it was just the gulp crab that we don't stock anymore.
don't think they make it anymore, do they?
Yeah, they still make it.
It was
it's just that he was the only one that bought it.
I was the only one that used it. But
he was the only one that could catch fish on it. No one else could.
So we've got the world here.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We have kale over here.
What else probably is the new? Same number that licked mangroves.
Yeah. What else is new?
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay. Yeah, we used to sit below ponds in our kayaks and just destroy the redfish with those gulp crabs.
Okay, so we got to get some more gulp crabs in. Make sure we put those on the next order.
Actually, I think we put them on this last order, and I don't know, we didn't get them yet. Because okay. We did talk about that with the 3-inch peeler crab.
Yeah, they do make a good bait. Robert, one last pick for you. We're running a little long today. So one last pick, what's your... If you're going to go something hardcore, last pick of the day. The banana jig.
The banana jig. Either the rigged one with the teaser on it or just by itself. Both of them work so well, and once again, they fall in the same category of multitasking. I can bounce them off the bottom, moderate retrieve suspended in the water column, or fast retrieve and catch so many different species on them. It's amazing. I mean, we caught whiting out in the surf along with flounder and pompano, trout, snook, Spanish mackerel, and ladyfish. Destroy them.
Literally destroy them.
Yeah.
Well, so, one of the things is, if you're wondering what a banana jig, guys, it's nowadays they call them silly jigs or crazy jigs or stuff like that. But the real name is banana jig because they're shaped like a banana or similar.
Tip them with shrimp. Tip them with gulp, or tip them with
fish bites. Fish bites would be great. Number one if I was going to tip it with.
Fish bites is one of my favorites to tip it with, or pieces of shrimp.
Yeah, I would do. If I had shrimp with me, it'd be the shrimp first. But if I'm taking something artificial, I'm going to cut a little tiny 1/8-inch piece of that and just stick it on there. And that's going to whack them, and it'll last forever.
Yeah.
Kale, your last pick. We got the crazy jig, banana jig. Robert's last big pick of the day.
My last big pick of the day is going to be the man stretch 20.
Okay.
Yes, why are we pulling a 20-foot deep lure in a 10-foot deep harbor with northeast winds? First off, Captain Tim Johnson of T-Back Charter is going to kill me for this. They're catching a lot of cobia out there at Alligator Creek Reef, and one of the ways that they are producing is trolling these stretch 20s and stretch 25s.
Letting them bunch right into the bottom?
Nope, towing them real slow. Real slow so they don't hit bottom. Now,
lots of action, real slow.
Yeah, these stretch 20s, your certified depth bombers and Rapalas, they're going to run that particular depth at a certain speed with so much line out. Shorten your line up, slow down your boat. They don't run as deep.
Gotcha.
And your action is probably intensified when you do that.
Well, I'm gonna say that's good. I'm going to make my pick of the day, and I've actually got a jig head, the Rockport Rattler. These things are actually doing very well. And the two soft plastic tails I would use them with, the Rockport Rattler, I like the 1/4 ounce either in the yellow chartreuse or red, and I'm using them with the Little John. And that Little John with that rattling head on it even makes it better. It's the soft body tail that has no reason to catch fish, no reason to work, and just does.
Yep.
Or I've been throwing two types of DOA. I only have the 419 here. Or I'm sorry, the 441. The other color that I really like, we're out of right now. They're almost identical, and they both have a light belly, chartreuse tail, and this one has the black back.
Right.
And the other one I like has the salt and pepper back.
Right.
And white belly salt and pepper back. But these two, they're 4-inch paddle tail shads. I can take them anywhere. If one color doesn't work, I just throw the other color, and one of them is going to work. The Little John, if I'm bouncing along the bottom looking for trout, flounder, that really seems to do good. But if I'm going to be throwing it and swimming it back to the boat, I want the DOA Cal Shad 4-inch paddle tail. And I use those two colors because it seems to do everything for me.
And those Rockport Rattler jig heads are working very, very well. The one piece of advice I can give you, keep a pair of nail clippers on your boat.
That's the jig head.
That's a jig head.
I didn't know if I could get the rattle sound to come over the microphone, but yeah, that's what they sound like. That's a lot of noise for a jig head.
A lot of noise. Right.
Now, they've got a very, very large head because of that rattling chamber, and it is very, very hard to get your plastics over that big bulbous head. And
I've been doing a starter hole.
Yeah, we show people when we used to use the tarpon jigs to take the fingernail cleaner of your nail clippers, pre-punch the nose of your jig, and it works very, very well to get those Rockport rattlers on.
Yeah, if you're going to buy the Rockport rattlers, go up front for about a buck and a quarter. We've got the little fingernail clipper, but it has to be the one with the file cleaning adapter on it, and use that to push in the end of the soft plastic. It creates a starter hole, and it works for tarpon jigs, it works for the Rockport rattlers, and it makes it so you don't explode the head of the soft plastic as you put it in.
Right.
So, is our mission here done today, folks?
I think we made a pretty good dent in it.
Yeah.
So, we've succeeded in our mission.
Definitely. Now, people can go out and catch fish with artificials this week. And this week only, because these lures are only good for this week.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. This was this week's pick. When we do it next week, there'll be possibly the same lures, possibly different. But each time as the weather changes, and the weather should drastically change from this week to next.
Well, and also your color preference sometimes is going to change significantly, because from this day forward for the next 4 months, the water is going to clear up exponentially.
Yeah.
So random colors are going to vary a little bit from day to day.
I'm gonna say maybe on that. We're getting so much rain this year. I don't know if we're going to get those real clear waters this year, because it's got to stop raining for a month.
Yeah, but with the combined cold and just cold the normal knocks, time of year, it's going to knock down a lot of that microalgae.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the tannins are still going to flush down with the rains, but the microalgae in combination with that will whack it big time. So, like, and the difference between fishing up here in the upper end of the harbor versus fishing, like, say, down in Pine Island Sound. You know, like, this time of year, you know you can stick with, like, your gold colors anywhere up on the upper end of the harbor. But as wintertime progresses down in Pine Island, when that water does get to be real clear, you're going with, like, a bubblegum pink color, and those fish will run 10 feet out of the way to grab it, and they'll ignore a gold color.
I think that's why both you guys picked the rainbow trout pattern at the beginning of the show, because it does have that blend of colors. It has all the different things. And when we're fishing these, the water, and we really don't know which way it's going day to day, by getting mucked up or getting really clear, depending upon where you are in the harbor, that rainbow trout pattern is going to pretty much cover you almost anywhere.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's see now. We have the exit music. Say goodbye, Kale.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
That's it. I knew somebody would get it. I was like, come on, somebody's got to follow this. How else are we going to get this?
That's why I didn't do it. I was really hoping you wouldn't either.
See, I get no respect. No respect at all. I don't know why. This is Fish and Frank and Radio Fishing. And thanks for listening, guys.